I'm Mike Webb, and welcome to the ProPublica podcast. On March 16th, ProPublica and the New School are going to present a panel discussion titled Long-Form Journalism in a Short Attention Span World. The featured panelists will be Ira Glass, host of This American Life, David Remnick, editor of The New Yorker, Rainey Aronson-Rath, series senior producer for Frontline, and our own managing editor, Stephen Engelberg. To preview that conversation, we asked Mr. Engelberg to join us in the Storage Closet studio to talk about ProPublica's role in producing long-form journalism. Welcome to the podcast, Steve.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, let's start by talking about the difference between long-form journalism and the type of stories that you'll see in a daily newspaper. How are they different?
Well, you know, a daily newspaper these days in particular have significant limits on space, and most of the stories are going to be produced fairly quickly, and they're going to be related to news of the day. In long-form journalism, we hope to be telling a story and to take more time and more space to both do the journalism and sort of deliver the narrative.
Are there clues that you see that sort of lead you to believe that a particular story is worth, you know, a lot of time, a long form?
Well, what we look for in our investigative work is ways to get readers to care. And so we are simultaneously, of course, looking for sort of outrageous things that, you know, need to be addressed, things that shock the public conscience. But we're also simultaneously looking for storytelling means. You know, we're looking for stories that have a beginning and middle and end, an arc, a narrative that draws people in. We most recently did this on the subject of hydrofracking, where we looked at one particular Wyoming resident's struggle with people doing hydraulic fracturing, the drilling for gas that we've written so much about on his land, nearby land in his ranch.
Do you think that story worked because we told it through someone's eyes?
Absolutely. I think that very technical, very scientific stories are difficult to grasp, and it's only when you bring the human dimension, the individual who's having some specific personal effect, that readers can really understand what you're talking about. Until then, it's astrophysics and very abstract.
For the New School conversation, we have people from the magazine world, radio, and video. But where do you see ProPublica in this conversation?
Well, we're sort of both platform agnostic and form agnostic. We do all kinds of journalism. We have a short form post that can be a few paragraphs. We certainly write the traditional news stories. But we have found that in working with some of our partners in broadcast and radio, and indeed in text or print, if you will, that there are opportunities to tell longer stories in a compelling way. And when those opportunities arise, we want to grab them. But we certainly are not locked into making every story into a New Yorker-style narrative. That would be a weight that, of course, would crush many an investigative kind of story. Some things lend themselves to it. Some things don't.
Do you have a personal favorite? I know they're all like your children, but
well, style. I mean, on some level, I think the sort of most interesting long-form thing we've ever attempted was our work with This American Life on the collateralized debt obligations and the story on Magnitar. Because going into that, we were unable to really see a clear narrative. And I must say, working with our very talented partners at This American Life and with Ira Glass specifically, a narrative emerged, a story that could be told. And I'm really very excited to hear what Ira wants to talk about at this conference, because I think he's really one of the masters of the form.
Ira challenged the whole premise that attention spans are shorter. Do you agree?
Well, I do. I find myself repeatedly, for example, in my car listening to This American Life stories for 5-10 minutes with the engine turned off, waiting to find out what happened. I think that as human beings, again, whatever culture we're in, we are sort of brought up with the bedtime story. And the bedtime story is propelled by this kind of very simple question, and then what? And then what? And I think in today's world, what we have seen is that people are hungry for bits of information, that's true, but they're also very hungry for, you know, an excellent meal. And yes, it has to, the bar is higher. Mediocre long-form journalism falls by the wayside in this kind of world, but superb long-form journalism, I think, has a secure place in the future of writing.
Now, we saw a conversation that the former New York Times Magazine editor, Gerald Maserati, had at Berkeley, and he also agreed that the premise isn't shorter attention spans. But he thought that the real problem to him was that there's just not as much money to fund long-form stories.
Well, clearly, if you are doing something akin to what we're doing, which is not only long-form but investigative, the costs are prohibitive. And it isn't to say that a traditional news organization can't make the same investment we're making, but as these places have less revenue, the sort of percentage that anyone represents has gone up significantly. When you have a staff of 400 and you put a reporter on a story for a year, that's one kind of thing. When you have a staff of 100, that's obviously four times as great. And in general, to both, you know, meet the sort of legal test of a story, that it has to be, you know, not libelous, it has to stand up to scrutiny of the most toughest order, and to meet the quality test, which is that it has to be compelling and completely reported and fair, and to meet our test, which is that it's revelatory and that it is a subject and a finding that potentially involves change. That's asking an awful lot. And at ProPublica, these stories take a long time because they're very difficult.
Do you think that some news organizations shy away from doing those stories because they're so tough?
Well, you know, it has to have an effect on you. I mean, the truth of the matter is that every news organization that does this finds that unique content drives their web traffic and everything else. And, you know, last year, the Public Service Award in the world of journalism, print journalism, the Pulitzer, the highest prize, went to a news organization which had a newspaper which had seven reporters, one of whom did a story for an entire year. So, you know, that editor was making a statement that he would commit one-seventh of his staff to an investigative story. So you do have choices. You always have choices. But the reality these days with everybody trying to do everything is that, you know, given a choice between doing 10 modestly complicated stories and one very complicated story that may not come out, I think editors are going to naturally gravitate toward the surer bet.
Well, to that point, a lot of people speculated early on in ProPublica's life that we were going to subsidize the news. I don't think it's turned out that way.
Well, I mean, I think subsidize is the wrong word for it. But, I mean, you know, first of all, none of these companies are really making fantastic profits. So it's not as if we're in the days when your typical print newspaper was turning a 20-30% return on equity every year, and here we were giving them free material. You know, we have done extensive business with newspapers that are in bankruptcy and with public radio and public television. You know, yes, there is an implicit, don't call it subsidy, call it support. We do databases that are very complicated, and then we put them on the web, and, you know, 70 or 80 or 100 different news organizations do local stories. Is that a subsidy? I suppose so. But that's what we intended to do. We intended to do journalism that would bring change by getting certain things out into the public. And if that happens to be helpful and drive some traffic and profits to news organizations that are otherwise suffering, I think we're pretty comfortable with that.
I want to skip a beat and just sort of ask you about our new experiment with Amazon's Kindle Singles. Is there a particular type of stories that works best in being a Kindle single?
Well, again, I think what we would be looking for is stories that have a character or characters at their core and a narrative in which something actually happens. You know, we did Sebastian Rotella's brilliant reporting on the Mumbai attacks, which have a beginning, a middle, and end, and we focused on some of the American victims in those attacks. So we were able to tell a story about people who came to Mumbai with certain hopes and met a tragic end. I think in the most recent instance, where we're looking again at the single guy who's suffering from the effects of hydrofracking around him, we're once again able to do that. I think topical stories are less suited to the Kindle single, which isn't to say that we won't try it, but, you know, if you think about what David Remnick, another member of this panel we're doing, does every week at The New Yorker, they do brilliant in-depth reporting built around characters and stories. And that's what I think you have to do at the length Kindle single is.
Well, Steve, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
We're looking forward to hearing what else everyone has to say at the panel.
And indeed, me too.
All right. That was ProPublica Managing Editor Steve Engelberg. Follow him on Twitter at Steve Engelberg. And for more information about the long-form storytelling event, go to propublica.org/events. Now for this week's Official Say Tumblr quote of the week. Quote, "We very much regret that you were detained," unquote. Who said it? Philip H. Lynch, chief of the Civil Division in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Seattle, in a letter to an Army veteran and American citizen who is detained for more than 7 months by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement on suspicions that he was an illegal immigrant. That does it for this week's show. Thanks to Minhee Cho for producing it. For ProPublica, I'm Mike Webb. We'll see you next week.